I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. We got a ton to get to over the next 2 hours, an anonymous survey out of the NBA. What guys from Portland show up on the list? We got Saturday Story coming up in the final hour, and the good playoff series happened tonight in the association. We'll get to all that over the next 2 hours of the show. Excited for this one, though. One of our favorites and a guy who can help explain a lot of stuff to us is our friend Bobby Marks from ESPN, at BobbyMarks42 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Bobby, good morning to you. How annoying is it in your life of people throwing random trade scenarios at you? And does it get frustrating to never have that probably stop?
I don't pay attention to it anymore. I mean, I can pop on TV and see Jaylen Brown for Giannis this morning, and I'm like, oh, my God, what are we doing here? So, yeah, I just kind of – listen, I think my goal is just to give you the rules, and if it works and if it doesn't work, and give you a synopsis. And I would say that 97% of the trades that are out there probably aren't true. So it's all good, though. We all work in an entertainment business, so I totally get it. Comes with part of it.
Yeah. Well, I was more curious too earlier because we were talking about the scenario for you. Like the last time, or how often does it happen? If you're at like a local coffee shop, you
standing
haven't gotten
in line,
the coffee yet?
The guy behind you, hey Bobby. By the way, Giannis for 4 first round picks. Hey, who says no?
You know, it's funny. I had it happen to me. I had it happen at a urinal in Atlanta airport. I was in there and I had a guy like look at me and he like did a double take, you know? And I was like, yeah, I'm like, just ask the question, you know, like just ask the question and stuff like that. So
do you remember the trade he threw at you?
I don't even know. No, I don't think he was a Hawks fan. I think he might have been just passing through and stuff like that. I was in the Orlando airport last night. I was walking through the food court and the guy was like, hey, are you? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, you have a trade for me? You know?
It's fantastic. No, wait.
Oh my God, that's so good.
You've opened this door. So this is your fault for what I'm about to ask you. Were you midstream as he's eyeing you and asking you a trade?
I think I had just approached the urinal. So. Okay. I think I was not. So.
That's fantastic. It would have been legendary if you just turned, he says this, and you go, yeah, it's real and it's spectacular. Yeah. And then you just walked away.
Are you Bobby Marks? ESPN is our guest. So I watched your video. You do these recap videos for the end when teams get eliminated. The Blazers get eliminated. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that you can – we're idiots, Bobby. We need your help here, okay? So – You were explaining in detail the Denny Avdia contract situation.
Yeah,
there's kind of a belief here of like, well, he's got to get paid this offseason. The Blazers are going to give it to him. And you're saying
not so fast,
right? Yeah, so can you explain why? And then does that change at all if he makes an All-NBA team this year or next year?
Doesn't. No, okay. It does. I mean, I think the hard thing with, his contract is so good. That's the that's the big problem is that, you know, Denny Denny signs that rookie extension with the Wizards. He's actually declining here. Yes, he is. He's extension eligible, I think, in October. And he can extend. He's got 2 years left, and he can extend for 3 years or more. However, because of the rules, he can only extend for 140% of the average player's salary. So, like, let's say ballpark, the total is, like, three for, like, $67 million. That would get tacked on. That's the maximum. The only way you can really get around that is if somehow Portland opens up a boatload of cap space and you can kind of renegotiate the contract. So basically you kind of boost it up there, and that takes with some roster maneuvering also. Now the problem is also, like, you get into next offseason, you're basically going to be in the same position but it's 4 years and at, like, I don't know, let's say like $90 plus million. That's still, I think, a little bit probably below market for him. But he has to make the decision if he wants to take guaranteed money. So basically what happened is that one or two things, the renegotiation round, as I explained, but that costs, you know, getting off some money. And then the other thing is basically having a handshake agreement that there's a deal waiting for you when you become a free agent in 2028, I believe.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
He's an interesting player for us because he's had a great year. Yeah. He led them in many ways. He was their only offense at times, and he made an all-star team. We'll have to wait to see on All-NBA. I'm kind of curious just your general synopsis. You talk about the contract element of it, but also like when you get to 2028, let's say there's a wink and a nod of a deal. Like, is he the kind of player there's a certain limit you're willing to do versus like the traditional, well, no, he was a really good player. We got to max him out here. Like, how do you view Denny Avdia in that light?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, certainly, as 2 years from now, the money will get significantly higher just because the cap will increase and everything like that. So if you're looking at him in 2028, he would be eligible for as a free agent 5 for $316 million. So
it's a lot of money.
You go from a $12 million player to a $55 million player. So how do you meet in the middle and everything like that? And that's why, as I said, like, he's not going to sign for $21 million per year. So what is the number? I always say max contracts are based on circumstances, and always the market has to create teams that are interested. But as I said, like, yeah, he's a heck of a player. He's found a home. He's 25 right now, so he's not even in the prime of his career yet. I think there's still some growth for him and everything like that. But yeah, they've got a really nice building block to build around. And as I said, you got to take advantage of those 2 years that he's got left on his contract to add, pieces when that salary is so low.
Yeah, people have pointed out for Portland next year, it's kind of unique. Denny and Dame might be their two best players, and they're making like $25 million combined. It's kind of an oddity in the modern NBA.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. It's like, Victor in San Antonio. When you're on those rookie contracts or when you're on a really, team-friendly deals and stuff like that, you can do a lot of good things with it.
Well, I'm on that note, we're talking Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider for NBA front office insider for ESPN. I got that the wrong way. And former assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets, Bobby Marks 42 on Twitter. I'm curious to ask you, Bobby, like, you working for the Nets, you went around a bunch of different NBA organizations. Mm-hmm. You've seen and come across a lot of unique and different owners, I'm sure. Some better than others, some with weird stories, some with good people, like I'm sure runs the gamut. There's a lot of noise in Portland. We have a new owner here, and there's allegations getting thrown out about a cheapness and paying for things or not paying for things, and I don't know how much inside of that you are. I'm just curious what you make of that, the way this is being talked about in NBA circles and the outlook of having a new leader in charge here of our organization.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I've been part of 4 different ownership groups in my time in New Jersey / Brooklyn. They're all different uniqueness about them, I would say. Certainly, I would equate kind of the ownership group now similar to the second group, which was the Yankee Nets guys. And with that came Lou Lamoriello, who was the GM, president of the Devils. So we had a hockey guy that came in, and certainly with Tom, who's with Carolina and has a hockey team. And I could say with Lou, having the hockey background, he was awesome for us as far as basically protecting the brand as far as from a basketball operations. I said this on TV a couple weeks ago. When somebody buys a team, the commissioner doesn't give you a manual on how to run it. You're really kind of learning. You're learning on the fly. You're learning all these different rules. You're learning the intricacies of your front office and what comes with it. What's true, what's not true. I know Joe came out and said it was his call not to, bring the two-way guys and stuff like that. And, we'll respect what he said there and everything like that. But owners are always a wild card too, man. Like, you go to Phoenix with Matt Ishbia and he comes in and boom, Durant and Beal, right? And now you're kind of, spinning the wheels and you're set back. So you have to be kind of cautious as far as you really have to. You got to trust you got to trust your front office. You got to trust your business people, the people that you have empowered to be in charge of the organization. And then you have the final say as far as from a financial angle, what makes sense and what doesn't. So it is a unique situation. And as I said, the ownership is always, they're always wild cards, and especially new owners that are in this.
Lemonade, fresh squeeze lemonade. Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Yeah. The things that have been rumored about him, I'm curious. I know people in the NBA like to text other people and colleagues and whatnot and talk off the record. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts of, like, of all the stuff being thrown out, one big thing is the coaching salary stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know what to make of it, but there's reporting that he offered Mike Malone $4.5 million, and then there's everybody saying he wants to pay $1 million, and Doug Christie's the lowest at two. So, like, just the most concerning thing that you think you've heard, that he's either going to learn the hard way or the organization's going to suffer as he learns through it?
I think it's the salary part. I mean, there's a couple of things. I always say this, like, the biggest asset owners have in this day and age of the salary cap and apron, and you got to go by the rules, is the resources that they can provide an organization outside of player salaries here, whether it be everything that comes with it, with where you stay and how you're compensated with your coaching staff or your front office, and the ability to add people to it, and how you travel and what you eat on the plane and everything. Like, that is an ownership thing there. That's basically controlled by that. So I would say that, you know, the salary part, as far as what was offered Tiago, you know, was it $1 million? Was it $1.5 million? Like, that's below the market. Like, it may work in Carolina or maybe some of these other NHL organizations here, but to get a top notch coach, you're going to have to pay. I mean, that's the reality of it here. We've seen it at every situation here. And what happened is, if you don't, and you get a guy at $1 million, $1.5 million, they're going to they'll probably 3 years from now move on to another organization and everything. So I think that's the biggest, I guess, concern with that. But you kind of learn through it, and you take bows and arrows and stuff like that. And we'll see what happens at head coach.
Yeah. What do you make just on that last one? And I do have some roster questions for you, but just the idea that conducting a coaching search, because Portland's in a very unique circumstance, right? Like, Chauncey Billups getting arrested one day into the NBA season was weird and unique, and, you know, it's a day Blazer fans will never forget. So we have an interim coach who's not the full-time head coach. Chauncey still hasn't technically been fired. I think that's more of an NBA thing they're waiting on, but they've been going through this coaching search kind of privately, but it's become public of just how disrespectful is that to Tiago Splitter? Is it okay because he's an interim? That's kind of uncharted waters for us.
I think it's, you know, it's almost like you're dating, but we're not married, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what the unwritten rule is there. I mean,
it's okay to swipe right on Twitter still because we're not married yet.
Yeah. I mean, but you're still living in the same house, right? So, like, it's, I think you could do your due diligence. Listen, if they feel like he's not the right guy and they feel like there's somebody else out there, then yeah, I think you can go look at it, whoever, you know, whether it be Tibbs or, you know, some of these other coaches that are available here. But I think what you have to be careful with is, I think this is somewhat of it's not a rebuild anymore. We throw it out at the window, and I don't know if it's quite yet a win now roster. You're trending towards that. Mm-hmm. You got to get the right guy. That's going to be important. And Tiago's been through it with these guys. They've lived through a ton of adversity. And you guys know that firsthand as far as what happened early in the season here, and he earned his stripes, I think, during the playoffs. Certainly there's probably some things you'd want to be done differently as far as maybe some rotations and some guys who played and who didn't play. But I do think there's a familiarity as far as with that group, and I think sometimes you don't get that when you kind of look outside of your own home.
We'll ask you a random, not random, but roster questions here, Bobby, but one last random question to kind of throw at you is, we have a lot of media members in our market that are, if they're not covering the team, they're constantly fear-mongering about the team. And the NBA relocated the Seattle Supersonics to Oklahoma City years and years ago. I'm just kind of curious, that gets thrown out. We're in the middle of, like, trying to get more money from the city and the local governments for renovations of the Moda Center. Just your thoughts on how the NBA views relocation in itself, given what they went through in 08, and then the Blazers being one of these teams highly talked about by local scribes of, this is a fear, this is real, it could happen.
I think if you're in Portland, I think the ability, I think expansion should damper any thinking of relocation. As far as the ability to bring in two teams with, whether it be Las Vegas, yeah, I guess Las Vegas and Seattle here. I just don't see an appetite. All of a sudden now we're going to be looking at a relocation, like what happened with Vancouver to Memphis and Seattle to Oklahoma City here. I mean, you go and look at the crowds you had. Portland's a great city for basketball and everything. And I think having that, you know, one big pro team there, I think there's the support is there. And yeah, I know I get the arena part of it, and that's a big component of it here. But I would probably sleep a little bit better knowing that, you know, that the expansion part of it is probably the big to do on the NBA's list.
Yeah, couldn't have happened a better time for us. Seattle and Vegas, come on down. And in our time frame, too, or in our region of the country, that helps. Bobby Marks is our guest. Bobby Marks, 42 on Twitter, ESPN NBA front office insider. Now, on the roster, you went over this in your end-of-season video, and people can find that on your Twitter. You posted it in your end-of-the-season article on ESPN.com. When you look at this roster, you mentioned they've taken this step, right? It's competing. You were a 7 seed. Like, it's clearly a right direction year for them, but there's also a lot of questions because some of your key guys are aging. Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard at the back end of their careers. Some guys who were you were hoping to have bigger years. Scoot Shaden had moments and flashes, but not great. If you're behind the scenes of this organization right now, I guess how would you view this offseason? Because there's a kind of push of like, man, we got all these draft picks, we got these Milwaukee swaps. There's a lot of ammunition in our chamber right now that we could go get something done. Would you view it as this is the offseason to like, let's strike while the iron's hot, give it another year? I'm just curious your thoughts on what their offseason would look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned the ability to have in controlling the Bucks picks that was from the Lillard trade and everything. I think that gives you, you know, you don't have a first this year, but you're really in good shape in future years here. And there's an opportunity. I always say the hardest thing for organization is taking that next step, right? You go from a team that, you know, won 42 games and you get in the playoffs, you hadn't been there. Now, like, what's next? Like, getting over, instead of just being a play-in team, a team that can contend, you know, for a top five or top six seed and everything like that. And you have the pieces. And, you know, two of your aging, older players, whether it be Drew, who's got 2 years, and Jeremy Grant, who's got 2 years. And then you've got I almost equate them a little bit like how Indiana had set up their books. The year they went to the finals, where you had Siakam and Halbert, and then you had everyone else making less than $20 million. You're in really good shape there. Now, you have to determine, is it with our own group? Is there another step that this group can take? Or is it going to be help from the outside here? And what does that mean? So, I always, you know, the market will open up. Well, I'm sure we'll hear about Giannis more, and we'll hear about some of these other, you know, players that potentially could be available. And I think if you're not totally gutting what you have, I do think this organization is going to be aggressive looking at outside of their own group that's coming back.
How difficult or exciting is it, I think, from a general manager eye or standpoint to try to build a roster that competes with what we saw last night at OKC and what we can see with Ant Edwards playing or San Antonio, which we experienced firsthand? What is that like, I guess, from the vantage point of a Joe Cronin to try to build a roster out that's like, what is the best way to compete against those guys?
It is exciting. I think it is. Listen, the Oklahoma City's built, and they're built for the long haul. And probably, the West is the West. The West will always be pretty dominant and stuff like that. So it is exciting. I think you just have to be cautious that you don't want the one move to backfire on you, and now you're kind of, you know, back in where some of these teams who are in the lottery, consistently in the lottery, have, whether it be Utah would be better, but Sacramento and teams like that. But you've got, you know, you're not backed up in a corner, as you've talked about with the draft picks and the contracts to go out and do something here. So I do think there's a level of excitement there, but I do also, as I said, you have to kind of caution as far as not making the right wrong move.
Yeah, last one I got for you, Bobby. I'm curious. We saw in the NFL a couple years ago the Deshaun Watson contract got handed out by Cleveland, fully guaranteed, and they kind of became like a league-wide collusion of like, we're never going to let that happen again. I'm wondering, because some of these names that get thrown out for Portland this offseason, it's like, it's going to cost how much to get him? Will there be any sort of come back down on the market after Desmond Bane went for 5 first-round picks and Orlando got bounced in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, trades are just circumstantial. You know, like Mikal Bridges, right? You know, like, it's it's based on sometimes guy teams view players a little bit higher than other teams do, and they look at his contract and they look at him under contract for 3 or 4 more years and him fit, and they think, you know, I always said this. I said this in Brooklyn when I worked in Brooklyn in New Jersey. Like, there's always a sense of arrogance when you work in a front office that you always think you're going to be good. And the cost of what you're doing this summer, you know, okay, that's, you know, in 2029, that's in 2031. And then you kind of lose a little bit of sight as far as of the now, and then you're stuck, and then you don't have the picks to get out of the mess that you've been in until you have to trade your own players and stuff like that. So but there'll always be another team. There'll be another team out there. Summer probably trades 4 first round picks for maybe not an all-star, all-NBA type player, but a pretty good type of player.
Yeah. Bobby Marks, we love the insight. At Bobby Marks 42 on Twitter, ESPN NBA front office insider. Always appreciate the time, man. Keep up the great work. I'm sure we'll try and reach out to you at some point in the offseason, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Bobby Marks of ESPN. That, great stuff.
Good stuff from Bobby there.
He's one of the best. He can get into the nitty-gritty. The contract stuff is fascinating to me because that's kind of a thing of like, well, Denny's going to get an extension this offseason. It ain't happening.
5-3-16? He's waiting for the 5-3-16.
I mean, right now, literally all he can sign, what did he say, 3-for-60 and next 60. Year's 4-for-90? Like,
yeah,
he's not
waiting.
Signing that. He's waiting 2 more
he's
years.
He's waiting for free agency.
Yes.
So he wants the max.
Can you capitalize on that? Lots to react to there. We also have the anonymous survey that came out from the NBA. What Blazers fall on the list in a good or a bad way. We'll tell you who they were, and we'll get into that next. 105.1 FM The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.